Welcome to our ICT4D conference podcast. My name is Sonja Rutzel at CRS, and I'm interviewing experts for you to share insights on how they're using digital technologies to address the food crisis. Today is my pleasure to introduce Jessica Agnew, the Associate Director of CULS Global at Virginia Tech. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jessica, would you like to explain us a little bit more about your role and what CULS actually even stands for?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So I am the, as you mentioned, the Associate Director for CALS Global, which is the global programs in the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at Virginia Tech. And our mission really is to help internationalize the college and connect our researchers and students to partners around the world so we can lend our specialities and expertise to some really compelling issues like the food crises. So in this case, I'm lending my own expertise and experience in research to technology and agri-food value chain development.
Thank you, Jessica. I invited you to tell us about the Laser Pulse project and also your research inspired by this project.
The Laser Pulse project is USAID funded, run by Purdue and a consortium of partners. So LASER stands for Long-Term Assistance and Services for Research, and PULSE stands for Partners for University-Led Solutions Engine. So quite a mouthful, but essentially what this project is about is really connecting researchers at universities to other types of stakeholders and actors in the development space. And they use something called an embedded research translation model. And this model really looks at connecting researchers to these different types of groups and using an iterative process in research to help improve the relevance and develop solutions with the contextual nuances that we need to develop and tackle really severe crises and challenges like, as you mentioned, the food crisis. So we were awarded a small grant through their grants program. And by we, I mean myself and a colleague here at Virginia Tech, Ralph Hall, and a university in Kenya called Edgerton University, and a tech company called AgUnity. So we were awarded a small grant to look at how blockchain technology might help to improve food security by developing value chains for African indigenous vegetables in Western Kenya. We really use the ERT model in our work, and we wanted to take an objective lens to whether or not blockchain, which has received a lot of hype lately, if it could actually tackle the challenges within these value chains for African indigenous vegetables, and if it was an appropriate technology. So that's a research question I'm really interested in, is appropriate technologies and the way we develop solutions, are they actually acting as solutions? So we worked together in this sort of triumvirate group to unpack some of these questions.
Thank you. Yes, that sounds really exciting. And as you said, there is a lot of hype around blockchain. So I guess my first question is sort of what's new? So how does blockchain have the potential to solve the global food security challenges?
So in a high-income country context, we've seen blockchain offer solutions around traceability and transparency within value chains for food that we're consuming from, you know, large supermarkets. So for example, Walmart and IBM have engaged in using blockchain and other types of cloud-based solutions to try to give consumers better visibility into where their food is coming from, how it's harvested, how it's processed, its freshness, and other types of these characteristics that we're really looking for from our food in contexts like the US or even Europe. And so this study was really new in looking at a low and middle income country context. Kenya is a perfect place to start. It's known as the Silicon Valley of Africa, and it's really keen to understand the potential for digital technologies to transform its agricultural sector. And so we wanted to see if the characteristics of blockchain, which is this immutable distributed ledger, really helped to address the challenges that we're seeing in a value chain for something like African indigenous vegetables. So this is a really important food security crop in Kenya. It helps both improve income, especially for women who usually are the ones farming and harvesting and selling this particular product. And then also it's really important in the diet. They're incredibly nutritious and And there's increasing demand for specifically the African indigenous varieties of leafy greens. Leafy greens are a really important part of the Kenyan diet. So there's been this sort of return to indigenous varieties compared to things like kales or spinach because of their nutritional qualities. So we thought there was a really high potential for tackling food security, both through improved income of smallholder farmers and through increasing access to these veggies. So blockchain and being able to better connect actors along the value chain was sort of a way we thought that it could contribute to improved food security. So this is kind of new. As far as I'm aware, there aren't a lot of studies or different research projects that are looking at how there's this linkage with food security. Though there are more and more companies that are coming out with products for the low and middle income country context that can help use blockchain or that use blockchain to kind of leverage this traceability, transparency, quality that it can deliver.
Thank you very much. So you mentioned connecting the actors along the value chain and that there are a lot of products coming out, but we know very well that digital tools, particularly in the agricultural space, are only ever good if they have a very strong user-based approach. So I want to ask you more details around your user-based approach. For example, how do you create the stickiness that the technology will actually be used long-term?
Yeah, so the company we are working with called AgUnity takes a really interesting approach and leverages the best of human-centered design principles. So they spend a lot of time in the community, and this is where our researcher private sector partnership also came into play, understanding language barriers, you know, barriers to learning the technology. A lot of users had never used a smartphone before. And then we also see differences in age and being able to more quickly adopt technology. So youth, those under 30, tend to be able to pick it up a lot more quickly. And so thinking about in the user-centered design approach, who is doing the teaching of these digital skills is also a really important consideration. So we engaged youth to help train the older, which created some stickiness because then when, you know, the researchers leave, the AgUnity trainers leave, and then we have people in the community who can help overcome the challenges of learning these new technologies. So after spending quite a bit of time sitting with the community and the users that we were working with and understanding what their barriers to adopting the technology might be, as well as the types of different features that they needed from the app, we were able to sort of tailor it not only to the specific context of the African indigenous vegetable, but also to the users as well. And then the other piece that I think will help to create stickiness over time, that's sort of going back to your first question about what's new. What's interesting to me about blockchain and the way that AgUnity has specifically structured their product is that it connects all of the actors within the value chain. So it's really aimed at creating better intermediation between everybody buying and selling vegetables from one another. Whereas a lot of digital apps we're seeing tend to focus just on the farmer, which is great. And those can tackle a lot of challenges that the farmer experiences. But this is really looking at the entire value chain. And sometimes we can villainize sort of the middle people who are sometimes take advantage of farmers. But the reality is that those people are also, you know, need to provide for their livelihoods and their family and need economic opportunity as well. I think the stickiness will really come from the fact that blockchain kind of draws together a network of people. It's not just one person downloading an app and using it on their own. In the long term, though, I think we need a significant investment in training and education, and also to make sure that alongside of the technology, we also see service delivery. So AgUnity is now piloted setting up a kiosk in collaboration with a local community-based organization that has more than 200 farmers enrolled in their organization so that they have sort of a launching off point of connecting into the community, becoming trustworthy, having that go-to place where they can receive support or technical assistance. So it's the technology plus the business model that I think will be really important to continue to develop in order for us to achieve that scale in the long term.
Thank you very much. I couldn't agree more. Oh, we already heard in other episodes of this podcast series that particularly the holistic approach are very key for successful and sustainable project and tools. And I really like your approach as well to consider the service delivery alongside the technology. So it's not really a one-off solution. That's a really great approach. So Jessica, what does the future hold? You've been telling me a lot about your research and we obviously learned about the initial project. What are the next steps?
What we'd really like to do is, from a pure sort of research perspective, understand what value blockchain in and of itself contributes to the value chain. So we know from our initial project that having a phone, having access to WhatsApp, having access to the blockchain-based application, all of those things delivered a lot of value. We saw more than 30% increase in income. So now we want to understand and try to isolate the impact of blockchain itself. We know a lot of funders are interested in this and investors. And it will help us to understand where the best place for blockchain is to help improve the value of these agri-food value chains. And then beyond that, we're really thinking about scale. So how do you bridge this chasm between early adopters and the early majority as you kind of trace along the innovation, dissemination, and adoption curve? It's a really big challenge, and it's one that's really being faced, especially in the African continent right now. But there's so much potential in that bridge and getting to sort of the early and late majority that a lot of people have questions around the scale. I think, you know, ICT4D is really oriented around this. So I think there are a lot of learnings there and also, you know, a lot of potential to attract companies to offer these digital solutions if we can help answer some of those questions and sort of find those best practices and scale. So we'd love to find other collaborators who are interested in the scale question as well and connect into a deeper community so we can tackle some of these challenges, which are quite prevalent and persistent, but I think they're overcomable.
Thank you. I think that's a great call for collaboration, and I can't wait to see where you take this. And hopefully we can speak again in a few years and learn more.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Jessica, for sharing your insights with us. Anyone interested in learning more about Jessica's work and the College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at Virginia Tech, please check out the web link in the podcast description. I also like to take this opportunity to mention our in-person ICT4D conference scheduled for March next year in Accra, Ghana. Interested in learning more, please visit our website, ict4dconference.org. Thank you. Hope to see you again soon.